We arrived in the Black Rock Desert, and we drove just off the highway and out onto this vast open plain. It's just huge nothingness for as far as we could see. And I took a stick and I drew a line on the ground. And I said, on the other side of this line, everything will be different. We then stepped across that line together. And then we went out into the deep desert and we erected this four-story tall wooden man. And we burned it. And that was the first Burning Man on the Black Rock Desert. Burning Man is an event that takes place each year in the Nevada desert, about 200 miles north of Reno. And we literally, over the course of 8 days, build a city in the desert with large pieces of art and small pieces of art. And I would say that Burning Man is the largest outdoor art gallery in the world. But beyond that, it's also a community. We're currently at about 70,000 people.
By comparison, there were 80 people at the first Burning Man in the Black Rock Desert. I'm Adam Campy, and this story is for the NEA Arts magazine about visionaries. Michael Squared, is one of six co-founders of Burning Man, the annual celebration of art, life, and community building that takes place the last week of August through Labor Day. Michael shared that Burning Man began on Baker Beach in San Francisco in 1986. Anna Lark, co-founder and eventual chief philosophical officer, Larry Harvey, called his friend Jerry James with a strange idea, to build an 8-foot-tall wooden man and set him on fire.
Not knowing how to start a fire, they used gasoline, so it just incandesced like a second sun, which brought people from up and down the beach to it. That was the very beginning, and it got larger and larger until 1990, when we showed up on the beach with about 400 people and a four-story wooden man. And the authorities came and said, you can't do this here. You don't have a permit.
A couple of months later, they randomly watched a video of people playing croquet in the desert, but the ball was 8 feet in diameter, and the mallets were pickup trucks.
And we thought, we could go out there and burn a man. This is the kind of place that we could do it. It was about 1993 that I looked out across the playa, this vast, dry lake bed, and I realized that something important was happening. There was about 2,000 people there. And I knew that there was something significant, both in the culture and the art that was evolving there. And that's when I really began to focus on the future and where Burning Man was evolving into.
So I think the movement of thinking of Burning Man as an event to thinking about Burning Man as Black Rock City, like just that subtle adjustment changes an entire point of view on what is exactly happening in the desert. My name's Kim Cook. I'm the Director of Art and Civic Engagement for Burning Man. So Black Rock City becomes a place of experimentation, a laboratory for civic practice.
And it's been a very organic process. As we've grown into literally a city, we have our own kind of security department, we have our own hospital, we have our own fire department, we have an FAA-approved airport. We land more than 400 planes every year.
Black Rock City and Burning Man, the event, becomes also a laboratory for developing the capacity of artists to make work in experimental and really far-reaching ways.
Look at all the action going on.
I think it's important to remember that the whole entire city is an act of self-creation. So all of the participants are potentially costuming. At least half of the participants have created some kind of a camp that's called a theme camp. And that theme camp is offering an experience that could be a jazz club or zip lining or a symphony orchestra or a bakery. Many, many different kinds of things. So there's self-expression happening all around.
Here's some colorful bikers.
You will also see a lot of people riding on bicycles. So, and all of those bicycles will be decorated. You often see in the media portrayals of people wearing things that are lighting up, which is a safety statement more than a fashion statement, because there are 400 mutant vehicles driving on the desert in the nighttime, all carefully controlled and at 5 miles per hour, but it still is dangerous if you're not visible to the driver of the mutant vehicle. So you will see the artworks, you will see the dust, you will see the vast mountain landscape and the sort of scale of things. You may see sunrise and you may see sunset, and you may see both of them depending on if you spent the whole night dancing to the music coming from a mutant vehicle. So there is not one experience. I think when you ask Michael, what is the point of Burning Man? In a way, the same answer applies here. It's like one sees what you see based on that particular moment, and it may not be anything like what you set out to do in the first place.
And then there are times when everything is crystal clear. You may be very close to a piece of art, inspecting one minute detail, or you may draw back and see 10,000 people gathered around a piece of art with crystal clarity, and it's just beautiful.
In the art department, we have over 300 artworks that come to the desert every year, all of whom are supported in some way by the event. About 25% receive grant funding for their artworks in the range of 40 to 60% of their total cost, so they still have to raise a fair amount of money. And some projects can cost as much as $600,000 to complete. Some cost $1,000. It all depends on the work. Because we don't apply a curatorial lens in a qualitative fashion, there's a lot of freedom for artists to test and to try things. There's an artist by the name of Rebecca Waits who began with Burning Man being a two-dimensional painter on canvas, and she had an idea to create something called the Church Trap, which is a large-scale church suspended on a single point with an organ inside. And she told me, I asked her last year, I said, would you say that doing work for Burning Man has made a difference in your life? And she said, well, before I made Church Trap, I was a receptionist. And since I made Church Trap, I've never had to work as a receptionist again. So there is something actually quite transformational career-wise. I look at some of the conditions that create that, and there's a lot of collaboration and cooperation when you have more than 300 artworks being concurrently built over a period of 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Those artists are helping each other to get the impossible done.
The construction of the art can take many forms or processes, pieces which are assembled beforehand. Some ideas come out just as ideas and are fabricated on site. So it's a wide range.
Last year we had a 40-foot tree with 21,000 uniquely addressable LEDs built by essentially 8 guys. They had outmatched themselves with their desired end result. And it was the volunteers of other art projects around the playa when they finished their work that came and helped these guys that got the Tree of Tenere completed.
I think there's something missing in our modern culture that Burning Man tends to fulfill. There's a need for ritual, a need for participation, a need for community, a need for expression.
They say that you get the burn that you need to have.
Everybody comes to Burning Man when it's their time.
Sometimes people crash, collide with the experience, and sometimes people have something triumphant and exaltative.
There are many works that are burned and many that are not burned. It's particularly in recent years, we have more and more art that is built to become permanent, to go beyond the event.
And it seems that always people experience something that changes or affects them. So there's a lot of different kinds of impacts that I could talk about, but the spirit itself is ephemeral, just like the city.
But the one standard, the common ritual is the burning of the wooden man. not that it represents a man, but it represents perhaps mankind. It's in all of us. We are all a part of that as we are born and grow and die. And it's a reflection of ourselves, I think, in what we see in this figure.
That was Michael Michael and Kim Cook on the past, present, and future of Burning Man. Special thanks to all the kind folks at Burning Man who shared key information, especially Dominique Debucoy-Dodley. In closing, a postscript. Burning Man founder and chief philosophical officer Larry Harvey, who I mentioned at the very top of the show, passed away on April 28, 2018. Here's Harvey on how part of Burning Man's future is the replication of smaller Burning Mans around the globe. As he points out, it's a movement, not an event.
Quite spontaneously, people who've come to the event have gone home and began to found events of their own. They've internalized the ethos that they have learned here. And now we're seeing a movement arise across the nation, which we are helping to organize with representatives in Canada, across America, in Europe, and in the Far East. So now we're not an event, we're a social movement. People will begin to apply the essential values they learn here to the politics in their hometown and begin to engage in a civic dialogue because they've seen a city that is based on these principles that functions. That's how civic altruism and wearing a cow costume come together.
For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Adam Campy.